T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hugh Douglas and my man John Chuckery chopping it up with you on this beautiful Saturday. Out here hanging out, you know, talking about different stuff that's going on. Disney, the Atlanta Braves, and the, you know, running into the Nationals last night. And the Hawks draft. And the fact that we can't talk about certain players. So I got to tell you, Chuck, you made me look at it totally different. Because I was of the mindset that
if I gave you a rational and reason response without
getting
emotional.
You're not the only one. There was a lot of people that felt the same way.
Wait, you're wrong, Hugh. You're wrong, Hugh.
But
Hugh Douglas, you're wrong about it.
When you look at it like that,
and where we stand with you being wrong.
Sorry. And when you talk about it like that, no, it's fine. No, but when you talk about it like that, and you make it.
Do you feel like sometimes it's like a drill sergeant?
You talking about working with Freaky? Nah.
I didn't say anything.
Oh, no. I think, honestly.
Hugh Douglas, where we stand, Hugh.
Since we're talking about it, I think Freaky is a passionate fan that is passionate about all his sports teams, and that sometimes you don't want to hear the truth about certain things that you're hearing. Mm-hmm. Or you just don't want to hear a different take on it. I mean, and that's fine. That's the reason why we do what we do.
Yeah, some people have their mind made up, and you won't convince them otherwise. There's a lot of people in life about that.
Yeah. I mean, and it's fine. It's fine because the beautiful part about being able to be a radio host and being around a bunch of great people is that
– is working for great management.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Terry Fox is that guy. But not only that, it's we get a chance to come on here, and we'll chop it up, and we don't always have to disagree. We don't always have to agree. But it makes you look at things a little bit different perspective. That's the word that I'm looking for, a different perspective.
No,
so that's pretty cool.
You know, I think there are a lot of different sides to some of these stories and stuff like that. So, but I'm glad I could have a rational, reasoned debate with you.
Yeah,
on,
because
on all this.
I'm telling you, man, when I heard it and I saw it, I'm like, man, that's business. That's business as usual. But when you talk about the growth of the NBA and the momentum that it has gained over the last few years, with, you know, that every year for the last couple of years, they've been a part of the big movie rollouts, mm-hmm. with having some of the marquee players be a part of it. Think about Men in Black, the Equalizer, a couple years ago, and how they rolled that out during the finals and everything. You have taken away a little bit of the shine of the younger players because of things like this.
Well, think about it. You're DeAndre Hunter. Forever, the video of you being drafted is in a Lakers hat.
Yeah. Even though you're going to be wearing a Hawks jersey.
Right. So not only are you not a Pelican, but you're going to be an Atlanta Hawk.
Yeah.
And so forever and a day, Hugh, your moment, okay, because that's that kid's moment, right? No matter what happens to DeAndre Hunter for his NBA career, it's great, it's terrible, it's in between, doesn't matter.
You know he was drafted by the Lakers.
Right. Kawhi Leonard was drafted by the Indiana Pacers and traded to San Diego. The most famous one is Kobe. You know, Kobe was drafted by the Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah, and then told he wasn't going.
Right,
I ain't
he was
going.
Traded for Vlade Divac, you know, and that whole trade. So Jerry West didn't draft Kobe Bryant. The Charlotte Hornets drafted Kobe Bryant. So it's such a when that's your big night of the year for the league, you want everything to look good, Hugh. You want the visual of let's celebrate the kids and let's do all this. You want the visual of everything to look good. You know, Zion, when he got drafted, is going to have his Pelicans hat on, and that's what you want. You want that look.
And he's going to remember for that Miami Vice suit and them shoes that look like they were too small on his feet.
Well, it was a Sox optional at the NBA draft.
And he had
tonight.
those it looked like he was walking through the hallways of the Barclays Center, and it looked like his feet hurt. I guess they did after a while because he did a whole lot of walking.
Hugh Douglas, where do you stand on socks or no socks at events like this?
Well, I would say with dress clothes because hard bottom shoes like tend to be a little snug in the beginning. So I socks.
I don't know if I like.
I'm not
the
a
no
slipper
socks.
Dude. I'm not wearing dude.
No, but I don't think I like the no socks with like the loafers and the dress shoes.
Well, some people don't believe in lotion. So you stand a chance of having like ashy ankles.
Well, at least foot spray, don't you?
Yeah. Well, not with dress shoes. I don't think so because okay. you run a
if
chance
you're barefoot?
Of. I think you run a chance of having the foot powder making your feet look ashy, especially if you spray too
high. No, I'm not
talking
about powder. You can't just spray. Like I spray. I use just.
Well,
like
I use it like the tenactin or something.
Yeah,
you
want to
use that,
yes.
But you run the chance because you know when you spray it, it comes out and it becomes powdery. You run the chance of your ankles looking ashy if you like miss a spot and you're out there.
Okay.
You run that you know. I'm more of a traditional. If I'm going to dress up,
you calling me an ash?
Huh?
You calling me an ash?
No, oh. No, not at all. But I'm more of a traditional dresser. I'm not going to wear the European cut suits because I think when you're a certain size, it just doesn't look right. Like Zion Williamson, he's a big guy. To me, his suit looked like it was a little bit small. It looked like if he'd have took off running, he was coming up out those pants. But that's the way the kids dress nowadays.
Yeah, and it's a whole different world.
It's a different world, man. And if you get a suit tailor-made today, more than likely they're going to probably cut it more of a European style because I'm old school. I like the pleats in the front. You know, and things like that, they just give you a little bit more room and, you know, the flowing bottoms on your pants, like the boot cut a little bit. I like
so
those
So if your
suits.
Son gets drafted.
He's probably going to wear a European cut suit.
Are you gonna work with him on the outfit? Or
no,
is
he
just,
can,
you gonna let
you know
him
what?
Do whatever he
My
wants
My son,
point?
Every day, he tells me how lame I am every day and how he hates the way that I dress. So there is nothing. I can guarantee you there
now,
is nothing
it's funny
that I can
tell
it's
him. Funny that you say that because, you know, I've kind of – I'm going through a transformation, you know. Not, but now I'm cool and hip chuckery, you know.
Yeah.
Lean down, tanned up, looking good. Back to, you know, getting it all going, dressing different, you know, everything kind of going. So, and even like the music, like I listen to my daughter's music now. So I got the Ariana Grande and the Jonas Brothers and all
don't,
that.
She don't want to fool with you.
Hugh, she's fighting it so hard right now. She's fighting the fact that she's got cool and hip dad now, and it's like, it's a culture shock for her. She's having trouble adjusting because like. We can be in the car and like I'll put on the same music that she likes here, you know. So we know the words to Ariana Grande, you know. So I mean, like, and you know, like I bought the really cool hip cologne now. I mean, so I got it. You know,
but this is the thing, Chuck. No matter what you try to tell your children, to them you've always been a parent.
You've never been a child. She can't wrap her arm around the idea of dad trying to be cool. And
hip. You've never been. Yes. A child in your life. You've always been a parent, and you cannot fathom what they're going through. Because yesterday, like my son, he took his you know, they got their pictures back from high school. You know, the high school, you know, the yearbook pictures. And I wanted to post a picture because I thought, you know, good looking picture. He's growing up and everything. Mm-hmm. No, Dad, don't do that. Really? No, you're going to embarrass me. Oh, you being a picture that you've taken that's going to be in the yearbook. By me posting it on my Instagram saying how proud I am of you is going to embarrass you. Okay.
Hmm.
And I, you know, just kind of leave it alone. Okay. But, I mean, it is what it is. It is what it is.
So, John Chuckery, Hugh Douglas in the Key Studios on Sports Radio 910 The Game. Couple NFL things, Hugh. You brought this article to our attention about how quarterback Alex Smith says he hasn't abandoned hope of playing football again after suffering a devastating leg injury in November, even though he'll have an external fixator on his right leg for at least another month. But in his first public comments since the injury, Smith told Fox 5's DC's Angie Goff, I'm going to have to Google her and see what kind of newsgirl she looks like, anyway, that he still wants to play. Smith suffered a compound fracture, but now Smith feels good enough to consider returning. And one of the things that's going to be difficult, he says, is trying to learn how to run again. Quote, that's the plan. There are steps I've got to conquer before I get there. Learning to run again, that's a big one. I'm already throwing. Throwing isn't a problem, but dropping back, moving around, change of direction. Can you imagine what Joe Theismann had to go through of trying to just figure out how to walk or run at all, just in normal life, let alone when these guys suffer that kind of injury?
I couldn't imagine it, man. And not only that, just trying to get back to the game that injured you that way. You know, I applaud him for doing this. I mean, because when you think about it, I don't really think he really has to come back to the game. I think he's made enough money where, you know, he's going to be okay. But you look at the path that he's taken and where he's come from and where he's been and everything, there's always been questions about his ability as a quarterback, especially coming out in the same year that Aaron Rodgers came out in.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he got drafted before Aaron Rodgers.
He was the number one overall
pick. Yeah, and then you look at his career path when he was in San Fran. Colin Kaepernick comes in, takes his job. He goes to Kansas City. You know, make it to a couple playoff games, but it gets derailed. Now you have the young quarterback coming in. what's his name again? I
can't think of Dwayne Haskins.
No, he's in Washington. No, but he was in Kansas City.
Oh, Pat Mahomes.
Pat Mahomes. Couldn't think of Mahomes' last name. Pat Mahomes takes his job.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're in another situation where you're trying to come back off injury, and then they just drafted another quarterback, and you're fighting to come back. And it's safe to say that probably he probably won't play this year. It'd be kind of a stretch.
I can't imagine.
It'd be a huge stretch.
Here's what I always remember about Alex Smith. If he would have made one play in that NFC Championship game, they'd have gone to the Super Bowl instead of the Giants. But he literally couldn't make a play.
Yeah.
Remember that game with the weather and all that, and the Giants won it? He literally couldn't make a play in that game. Hugh Douglas, Drew Brees, did get a settlement. A San Diego jury has awarded Drew Brees more than $6.1 million in damages after the Saints quarterback was overcharged for diamonds purchased as an investment. Says jeweler Vahid Moradi and his attorney, Kevin Rooney, said in a statement they passionately disagree with the verdict and will appeal. Now, whether he sees any money or not, that's a whole different thing. But they were looking for $6.7 million, which was the difference between the amount paid to the jeweler for the variety of diamonds and the appraised value of the items. He said it was breach of an oral contract. And remember, he was testifying. He missed OTAs and stuff like that because of his testimony that he had to give. Closing arguments were Wednesday. The jury deliberated Thursday and most of Friday, and then decided in favor of Brees, who was not in court when the verdict was hanging down. So 6.1. Think he's going to get any money?
Good luck with that, man, because this can get tied up in court for a long time.
Yeah.
I was telling you in the break that I had a civil suit against somebody, and I was got awarded like 10 grand. And the person, instead of paying me the money, filed bankruptcy and started a new business. And at that point, I just didn't go back and refile the paperwork and try to come after them. It amazes me how some people know how to beat the system, mm-hmm. but others don't. And that's how this guy beat the system. So I would say good luck to him. I mean, that's a huge settlement. That's a huge award.
I can't imagine Drew Brees thinks that this guy's going to give him $6
million. I don't see that either.
You know what he's going to do? He's going to pay him in pennies. He's going to pay him in rolls of nickels.
Yeah, something crazy.
Yeah.
But he's probably not going to get that. And I'm assuming that these guys are going to try to tie it up in court for so long that Drew Brees is just hopefully he'll just walk away from it.
$6 million is going to lawyers' fees to tie this up forever and a day.
Yeah. They'll do that as opposed to paying you the money.
Exactly. What was his name? Varadi? Yeah, Vahid Moradi. He would rather pay.
He ain't about to pay that.
He'd rather pay his attorney to tie it up in court and not give Brees a dollar.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the sad part about it, but that's probably what's going to happen.
All right, when we get back, Matt Ryan has been making the media rounds. We'll hear some audio from him as he's given his thoughts about the upcoming season. John Chuckery, Hugh Douglas in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Sports Radio 929 The Game.
We've got something to prove. That's not confidence. That's just wanting to prove it.
Training camp is about to begin.
Listen in as we give you exclusive coverage from Flowery Branch.
Our Falcons play here. Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Back in the Kia Studios, rocking it out on a Saturday morning. John Chuckery, Hugh Douglas, hanging out with you here. 404-741-0929. That is our phone line. That's also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. He's at Big Hugh 53. I'm at JMCH316. Follow us on Twitter. That way you can interact with the show. By the way, the rest of the show is jam-packed. Jason Longshore going to join us at 1040. We'll get ready for Atlanta United action coming up on the 26th. I'm going to pick Hugh's brain up at 11 o'clock this morning. So we will get into the mind of Hugh Douglas. 11:40, What's Bugging Chuckery? So it's going to be a busy time, Hugh, over this next hour and a half, what have you.
Can't wait.
Out there. So Matt Ryan, Hugh Douglas, has been making the media rounds of late. The other day, was the Rich Eisen show. And so Matt's had a few different comments about some things. First off, Hugh, let's hear from Matt Ryan as he gives his thoughts on this new pass interference rule.
I think I like it. I like the intent of them trying to get it right if they have the opportunity to do it. I think it's a wait and see kind of thing. How's it going to shake out? How are they going to handle it? But I like the intent. I like where their head's at in going there and trying to make it with the technology at hand the best it can be.
Hugh, I've seen where they said that it's going to be a point of emphasis in the preseason for the referees to call, to sort out this pass interference, which means there's going to be an overcompensation in the preseason.
Trial and error.
Yep, and I would tell you, I fully expect when we get to training camp that you will see a lot of officials at all training camps across the NFL. Because even Desmond Trufant talked about it at OTAs. I don't know how they're going to call this. We don't know what they're going to do. So, you know, I'm assuming, Hugh, there'll be lots of referees at training camps across America.
Yeah, to get guys comfortable with what they can and cannot do and what the refs are going to deem as pass interference, just to give you an idea of how it's going to shake out. And to your point, in the preseason, that's more so, especially in the first few games, that's going to be more so for the young guys that have just gotten into the NFL, where they're going to be called on it a lot. It's up to the young corners to kind of get up to speed, and the older corners are going to have to learn by watching them do it to see what they can and cannot do. It's going to be a little bit of a growing pains. It's going to be a lot of growing pains the first few weeks of the season for the NFL.
Here is Matt Ryan. Obviously, what's old is new again. Dirk Koetter and Mike Mularkey back, and what his thoughts were on getting those two guys.
You know, I love it. We had a lot of success during my time with both of those coaches, and I think Mike coming back and coaching the tight ends is great for us. He brings a mindset and a level of detail that's going to make our staff better, and he's going to make our position group at the tight end position better. And then I think with Dirk, you know, he's a guy that, you know, I have a ton of respect for, really enjoyed the 3 years that I worked with him and played for him. And then, you know, kind of hated him for the 4 years he was in Tampa and they were putting up huge numbers going against him. It was always tough, you know, so I like playing with him and working with him better than I like going against him. So I'm happy he's back in the building and excited about, you know, what he's going to bring to our offense and his ability as a play caller to put us in good situations.
You know, I think the biggest thing for Matt Ryan, besides just the comfort level of having a couple of guys that he's worked with, I think is the way that this offense is going to kind of reemphasize the running game. And what I mean by that is not that they're going to take away, you know, not that they're going to become a run-first team. As long as you got Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, you're a pass-first
team.
More
effective running.
Right. But, Hugh, with the offensive line changes, the more physical tight ends that they've added, Devontae Freeman coming back, you know, they were 27th in the NFL in running the football last year. I don't anticipate that kind of number again. That short yardage, that effective running, move the chains, I think there'll be a re-emphasis on we need a running attack that can get us north and south when we need to.
Yeah, I think it's more going to be on the emphasis of the blocking scheme and things of that nature, because normally when the Falcons run the ball, you just, it's like hand the ball off, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, like, huh.
Did you feel like Tevin Coleman took too many negative plays last year?
Well, I think that was because of the fact that there was the blocking up front wasn't that great.
But I think he was part of that problem too.
Well, he's a dancer.
Dancer.
He's a little bit of a dancer, but
he's Lombada.
He's like, when you look at it, he's pretty good at making the first guy miss.
Right.
But when you're back there and you know you got a guy that kind of dances a little bit, he has to make the first guy miss. It makes it a little tougher when you got guys coming through the line like it's a jailbreak. And he's, you know, making the first guy miss, then you got to make the second guy miss. And now he looks like he's back there doing
the ball. Do you know who has the all-time NFL record for most negative yardage rushes?
Barry Sanders.
Yes.
Oh, I know that because, listen, I was on the field a couple times for some of those. You have Barry Sanders in the first half at negative 100 yards, and he'll end up rushing for 235 at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. He was the one guy that would sit back there and dance all day long, but he was going to get that back.
Yeah, eventually he would hit that home run.
Yeah, you know? He's going to get that. Yeah. He's going to get that.
So, obviously, a change in offensive coordinator, Steve Sarkisian, and now Dirk Koetter coming in. Again, we talk about what's old is new again. But here's Matt talking about how Dirk Koetter is different than Sarkisian.
I think as far as the scheme and the terminology, that has stayed the same to what we've been doing the last 4 years. So he has adjusted that. But I think with any play caller and with any coordinator, week to week and how they game plan and what they emphasize and what they go to in certain situations is different. And Dirk's definitely got a different personality type than Sark did and a different flavor for what he likes in certain situations than what Sark did.
Koetter's an NFL guy. You know what I mean? Like, I know Sark's done some other stuff in the NFL, but Steve Sarkisian feels like a college guy to me. I mean, obviously, his biggest success was in college
at
Southern
guy.
Cal. Yeah. So, I mean, Dirk Koetter feels like an NFL guy, that this is more of a legitimate NFL offense that we'll be seeing here.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're saying. It's more of the mentality and understanding how defenses scheme against offenses.
Right.
And how you get more bang for your buck by the type of offensive line play that you get and the way your blocking scheme goes. I know exactly what you're talking about, because a lot of times with Sark, no disrespect, because when you look at the offense, as far as numbers are concerned, they were probably in the same area that they were last year as far as their, you know, the yards and everything and you know, the overall offense. But in the NFL, and we saw it, you got to be able to run the ball in October, November, December. You have to be able to. And you have to be able to run the ball effectively. There's a couple times out there, Chuck, watching the game for the Falcons where either it was three straight running plays or three straight passing plays, and nothing seemed to fit together. You know, in order to have an effective run game, there has to be certain looks, because everybody's fast, everybody's athletic. There has to be certain looks that the defense sees that makes them think that it's one or the other. And that's how you capitalize that, because the bottom line is this. When you're playing defense or you're playing offense and you're trying to have success, you're trying to make somebody make a mistake, because everybody at this level is supposed to be elite.
Right.
So you're trying to make them make mistakes by not getting their coverages correct or overplaying certain things or just not basically seeing it. And if you have three plays that you're running that aren't playing off of anything, you're not fooling anybody. You're not fooling anybody. And that was the problem with the Falcons last year. Like, they would have some plays they would hit on, but it was almost like you were just throwing plays out there just to see which one would give you some positive yards. And once you got one, you'd probably go to that one again. And it doesn't work like that. You have to be creative in the way that you do things to set other things up. And it didn't seem like that was the case last year for the Falcons.
John Chuckery, Hugh Douglas in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92 in the game, listening to some clips from Matt Ryan. Can I ask you this? Is the number one difference when you talk about running an offense between college and in the pros is, in college I can out-personnel you.
Yes.
In the NFL I have to try to out-scheme you.
Yes. And you know, it's funny. I remember my first year in Philadelphia, 1998. Dana Bible was the offensive coordinator.
Did he produce here at one time?
No, that would be my man Paul Bible. Oh. Shout out to Paul Bible. But Dana Bible, I forgot what school he came from, but he was there. And I remember Ray Rose was upset because that was not his pick. You knew at that point when the offensive coordinator is picked by the organization that your days are probably numbered. Mm-hmm. But so it wasn't his guy. So I remember one day in practice, we were killing him. And it was first team against first team. And we're killing him in practice. And we're just running our base defense. And Ray had to come and tell us. He said, "Hey, yo, guys." And he said it in a colorful way, because if anybody knows Ray Rose, he's a very, very colorful coach. He said, "These mofos can't stop what we're doing, so I need y'all to stop blitzing." We weren't even blitzing. He said, "I just need y'all to stop blitzing and allow him to get into his offense, because, you know, this mofo ain't going to be here that long anyway." And so that's what we did. And that first few games, because that was the year we came down here to play, we were getting handled offensively. It was jailbreaks all over the place and things of that nature. And then we had to get another offensive coordinator during the course of the season, Bill Musgrove, and it had to change. But that's what it is. When you're trying to come from a college philosophy, Spurrier did the same thing in Washington, and you're trying to run it at an NFL level, sometimes some of those concepts will work, but you can't do it the same way that you did in college.
To your point, with all due respect, if I've got Riedel Anthony and Jacquez Green at Florida lined up on the outside, there aren't three corners in America that they're going to play against that are going to be able to cover either of those guys, Hugh. So, listen, when Jacquez Green and Riedel Anthony line up against Vanderbilt, it's a complete physical mismatch. Yeah, if I'm Warfel, I can just drop back and huck it up downfield because those guys will run up underneath it and there won't be anybody around them.
Yeah.
That's easy to do. All right, let me real quickly, from NFL Total Access, Matt Ryan was on that. Here's Matt Ryan talking about how last year's setbacks can be springboards for this year's team.
A lot of injuries, a lot of you know, guys that were young at that time that had to step up and fill in for some of the veterans that went down. And I think as a result of that, they improved personally, and that makes us a deeper and tougher football team. And I think that that's going to serve us well moving forward. I'm confident in the group that we have. You have to have that mindset and belief that we're going to get this done and be able to do it. And so, you know, I'm excited. I'm excited to get started in a couple of weeks and to see how good of a football team we can be.
I talked about this a few weeks ago, Hugh, and I was filling in. I think it's filling on the bunker mentality. I don't know, whatever they call it now. But I think Matt Ryan is in line to have his best year ever, and that includes the MVP season. With the running game and the improvements in the offensive line, it's a pass-first team, Hugh. I wouldn't be surprised if Matt Ryan puts up career-level numbers this year.
He should, but the bottom line is, if he's going to do that, I would want him to have a Super Bowl championship along with those career numbers.
Well, that's the goal. It's Super Bowl or bust,
line.
If you ask me.
Bottom line.
All right, when we get back, Jason Longshore, color analyst for all things Atlanta United here on Sports Radio 910 The Game, is going to join us as we'll get ready for United Toronto FC coming up on Wednesday. John Chuckery and Hugh Douglas in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 910 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Check it out.
The home for Atlanta sports on the weekends.
The whole weekend. Radio on the weekends.
The weekend.
Atlanta sports doesn't stop for the weekend, and neither do we. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John Chuckery, Hugh Douglas, hanging out with you in the Kia Studios on a Saturday morning, baby. Coming up Wednesday, we've got Atlanta United action as they're in Toronto FC. Sing it, Donnie. 7:30 pregame, 8 o'clock kickoff. The man who will be part of all of the broadcast as we go out to the WaitForIt.com hotline, Hugh. Our soldier of love, Mr. Jason Longshore, color analyst for all things Atlanta United. On Twitter, at Longshoe. Jason, your theme music in the background for you.
Now, why are you subjecting Big U to this?
Oh, listen.
You know, when it first came on, I thought it was LeVert Casanova, but then it took a left turn.
Donny Osmond took a left turn.
Yeah, I was going to say, Gerald LeVert, Donny Osmond, it's just a little bit
different.
Yeah,
it's a lot different.
Yeah,
it's
just a little bit different there. So, well, Jason, you know, I had a chance to talk to several different people this week, Julian Gressel being one of them, and, of course, we heard from Brad Guzan and everything. Do you get the sense now that this team is in the quarterfinals of the U.S. Open Cup that this is going to be now a pretty high priority to try to get a victory? I know it's going to be squeezed in between a couple of MLS matches on the 10th, but do you think that they will kind of look to tweak the roster and lineups now to really make a run at this thing?
Yeah, I don't think it becomes a lower priority, even with a USL championship opponent in St. Louis FC coming to town. You're three games away from a trophy. You're three games away from a prize check. You're three games away from guaranteeing your spot in the CONCACAF Champions League next year. And you get that quarterfinal against the lower division opponent at home, even in the crowded schedule, you should be able to take care of that.
I have a question. What have you been doing with yourself since you've been off these last couple of weeks? I know that Atlanta United has had games that we could not broadcast. So what have you been doing on a personal note, Jason Longshore, with this little bit of downtime that you had?
There's been so much soccer going on this summer, Hugh. I mean, you're talking about the Women's World Cup, and the U.S. is in the round of 16 there. You've got the Copa America. Joseph Martinez is away with Venezuela in that. We had the U-20 World Cup before all of this with Ezequiel Barco going on. There's in the Gold Cup now with the U.S. men's national team. They play tonight against Trinidad and Tobago. Soccer never stops. There's always something going on.
And speaking of that, you know, when you talk about being eligible for the CONCACAF next year and things of that nature, where would that put Atlanta United at internationally with the, you know, the success that they've had this year to put themselves in the CONCACAF?
It's just going to continue growing the reputation of Atlanta United internationally. I mean, I think their run this time around, you know, I know there was a lot of disappointment with the way the first leg of that Monterrey series goes, but when you look at the competition as a whole, Monterrey goes on to win it. Atlanta United was the only team to get a 90-minute win against Monterrey in the tournament. That's a feather in your cap at the end of it. You have Ezequiel Barco go to the U-20 World Cup and is the player who was as talked about as anybody else in the tournament. And now, you know, one of your former players, Miguel Almiron, after his performances in the Copa America this summer with Paraguay, he's being linked to Real Madrid and some major clubs right now. Atlanta United is the club in the United States that's getting talked about internationally more than anyone else.
And sorry about that, Chuck, but that's one of the main reasons why that we're playing these gauntlets of schedules, if I'm not mistaken, right? Because you want to be the team that's best seen and out there in the forefront for most people to look at all the time. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you want to be the big dog, you've got to go and try to win every trophy that you can. And the Open Cup is part of that. CONCACAF Champions League is part of that. MLS Cup, obviously, is a huge part of that. But if you want to be that team, you've got to go out and get the hype, but then you've got to go out and perform. And that's why you're adding players, and that's why you go get a Justin Merrim when you did before that transfer window closed, because you need the depth to be able to compete on all those fronts.
John Chuckery, Hugh Douglas on the WaitForIt.com hotline on Sports Radio 910 The Game. Jason Longshore joining us, our color analyst for all things Atlanta United, as we get ready for action Wednesday against Toronto FC. Am I right in this? Toronto FC hasn't won since May 4th, I believe. It's somewhere around there. What has been the struggle? There's been some ties, some draws in the midst of it, but it's been a long time since they've actually outright won a match.
They've had some injuries, and they've also just had some disappointing performances. And right now, they're back in action in MLS tonight. They play in Dallas against FC Dallas. At this moment, because of the CONCACAF Gold Cup, they're missing Michael Bradley, Josie Altidore with the United States team, Jonathan Osorio and Ashton Morgan with the Canadian national team. That's four starters that they won't have tonight. They won't have on Wednesday. And Atlanta's finally catching a team on Wednesday that's going to be on short rest. It's been Atlanta in that situation for most of the last month. Now they're going to catch a team that's tired and having to fly back home after a game.
Jason, how important was it the other night to just kind of get the band back together, get, you know, obviously PT and Barco and everybody kind of, you know, getting all back together and at least getting one match under their belt before they get back in MLS Cup?
It's huge. It's huge to do that, and it's also huge because you knew you were going to be missing Joseph Martinez, and there were a lot of questions as to who would play up top in his absence. Romario Williams had been kind of penciled into that spot, and he's been okay. But Brandon Vasquez has now emerged with that starting group around him. Vasquez is likely going to get the start on Wednesday based on his Open Cup form, and just getting that group comfortable to is big. I think when they were on, it looked really good against Columbus. There was some inconsistency and some dips in the performance, but overall, getting them together will help them on Wednesday.
You know, Pity Martinez was named to the All-Star team, and a lot of people, I know my partner John Fricky, thought that they got the wrong Martinez when they made that pick. Why do you think Pity Martinez was voted to the All-Star game over Joseph Martinez?
It's a fan vote. I was a little surprised that Pity got there and Joseph didn't. I thought, if anything, both of them would get voted in. I'm surprised that fans around the league didn't vote Joseph Martinez in after what he's done since he came to Atlanta United. Pity is the new star, and there's a lot of hype around him. I understand him being there in a fan vote. I'm surprised that Joseph isn't. That was the part that caught me by surprise.
So are you telling me that Argentina stuffed the ballot box, Jason? Is that what happened on there?
It could have. I mean, it's an online vote.
Well,
Anything can happen.
What I told Mike Bell the other day was that this proves that AOL still runs because that's about all that they would probably have down there. Jason Longshore on the WaitForIt.com hotline.
Fine.
Yeah, our color analyst for all things Atlanta United. Notice how quiet Jason got with all that.
Yeah, I'm not saying anything about that.
You can't fool with that one.
Exactly.
You got to let that one ride, Jason. Let it ride, Jason.
You know, Jason, I'm going to go out on a limb because, you know, I've helped make and break his career, but I think we're about to see a real trajectory upward for Barco over these next several weeks. I think the success that he had before the U-20 and the success and, you know, look, he is getting a lot of hype now around the world, and it will be very interesting to see, you know, this time next year if he's still on Atlanta United or somebody's bought him out as well. So I'm going to go ahead and go bold a little bit and tell you that we're about to see a real upward move for Barco this kind of second half of the year.
Don't do another song, please.
No. I won't. I don't want to ruin any careers. I've already ruined enough careers around here. I mean, look at Hugh. I mean, he's stuck with me on a Saturday as it is.
Oh, no,
so.
This is great. I'm having a great time.
I think with Ezequiel Barco, the thing is he's confident now. And when you're a young player and you get that confidence, I look at a guy like Trae Young last season. Beginning of the season, you know, he kind of struggled to lead that team, and the shot was going away for him. But by the end of the year, that was the player you turned to in every game. Barco's become that this season for Atlanta United. And I think that combined with being in this system for a little bit of time and being in Atlanta and getting used to the facilities, the staff, all of it, I think he's gotten stronger physically too. He's not getting knocked around quite as much, a little faster, and just able to withstand the physicality of Major League Soccer a little bit better.
Well-rounded in all sports and on Twitter, at Longshoe. He is our soldier of love and back at it on Wednesday. Atlanta United at Toronto FC, pre-match at 7:30, 8 o'clock kickoff. Jason Longshoe, like Mike Connie, will have the call. Jason, as always, appreciate it, buddy. Have a good weekend.
You're the man.
Appreciate it, guys. Have a good one.
There you go. Jason dropping some knowledge, as he always does on us. When we get back, Zion and Barrett, Hugh, they are going to meet up in the Summer League. We'll give you that story next. Chuck Rhee and Hugh Douglas in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 99 The Game.
It may be the offseason, but not for long. Training camp is coming. Catch our exclusive coverage here.
As we take you live to Flowery Branch for Falcons training camp.
WZGC Atlanta and WZGC HD1, a radio.com station.
Atlanta Sports Radio.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hugh Douglas, John Chuck. You know, when you give me responsibility like this, Chuck, I'm not kind of used to that. Coming to you on this beautiful Saturday. It's a little gloomy outside, but it's okay. It's not raining. The sun is out a little bit.
I think it's supposed to get sunny today.
If it does, that's going to be great. So what you got up for the rest of the day?
Told you.
I'm just saying, you're going to go run. I say you're going to go work out.
Yeah, but I got something going on at 1:30.
Oh, yeah, now. The colon cleanse.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was going to happen that early.
Today.
So you're getting mentally prepared?
After that, Hugh, I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, yeah, you got to kind of wait for the fallout. Well, that's probably a bad choice of words.
Right.
But, but you got to kind of wait.
Hopefully the crap won't hit the fan.
Yeah. Hopefully you got to wait to see what the outcome is going to be. You know, so that's going to be pretty. No, but you got to keep me posted on that, man, because
if it makes you feel good, you'll know how angry I am Monday morning.
That might be something I might partake in.
Yeah, Jarvis was the same way. He said, let me know how it all goes. It might be interesting. And then a buddy of mine last night I was talking to, he's like, let me know how it goes. I've been thinking about doing it because he's like 50, 51 or 52 now. And he's like, I've been thinking about doing it. Doctors have told me to do it. So we're going to pick Hugh's brain here at the top of the hour. But former Duke 2 mate, can't even talk now, Hugh. So you got me all rattled, Hugh. I'm talking Hughisms. Former Duke teammates Zion Williamson and R.J. Barrett are slated to make their NBA Summer League debuts against each other. The NBA said on Friday, what a shocking development, huh, that Williamson and the New Orleans Pelicans will face off against Barrett and the New York Knicks on July 5th, the first day of the league's summer showcase at UNLV, the Summer League. Of course, Barrett number 3, Williamson number 1 out there. Shocking how that works out. Do you think that the NBA lottery is rigged?
That's a good question. There's a lot of people.
Let me throw this out at you. Just to give you a random example. Isn't it weird that New Orleans and Memphis got the number 1 and number 2 pick, and they just happened to trade away their franchise players before the draft? Anthony Davis leaves New Orleans. Mike Conley leaves Memphis.
I think the Anthony Davis one, I think they tried to get something done, and I think that they thought that having the first pick would be more enticing to him. I think he was already dug in. It's hard to say because you could say that. You could go back to the draft where Cleveland got LeBron. Mm-hmm.
And Patrick Ewing and everybody.
Then turn back around and got Kyrie. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I know that they've made it the last couple of years a little bit easier. Well, not easier, but they made it a little bit more difficult to tank, so they say.
So two teams that are ready to trade their franchise players got number 1 and number 2.
I mean,
even without the highest percentage.
With their smoke, normally there's fire. And, I mean, that you could make a valid argument for the coincidences of it being, you know, like that. I don't know. I would hate to think that the NBA is rigged, but, you know, you look at Tim Donaghy.
Why would you think to hate that?
The way that he was getting away with murder back then.
Why would you hate to think that, though? Why wouldn't the league do it?
Because
if it's better for the league, why wouldn't they do it?
I just want to feel like everything's above board and it's wholesome.
But that might not be true.
Yeah.
Nothing in life is above board. All right, going to have a little fun. We're going to pick Hugh's brain when we get back. Chuck Rhee and Hugh Douglas in the Kia Studios after a crane bomb. Sports Radio 910 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.